Call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration to order. The clerk will note the roll that the quorum is present. Representative Junkie will move the minutes for the February 11, 2010 meeting. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, we're here to set time parameters for Senate File 2168. And that would be the Representative Murphy's bill dealing with general assistance medical care. And Representative Murphy, you just want to give us a sense of how this bill has traveled through the committees?
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chair. We have been in Health and Human Services, Policy, Finance, Full Finance, and Ways and Means. With the exception of the first committee, where we did a lot of formal testimony, the bill has taken roughly an hour in each of the subsequent committees, a little more in Ways and Means. There were more questions there. I will have, I think, one author's amendment just to clean something up. I don't expect, if it's going to take me more than 15 minutes to present the bill. And it's had a good hearing through a number of committees.
And Representative Murphy, I know you've worked closely with the minority in keeping them informed, and they've been informing you, potential amendments and the like. Have you heard anything from, basically, Representative Dean is kind of a lead on the Republican side there on this. Have you heard much from Representative Dean on potential number of amendments or discussion?
I know that Representative Dean is, we talked last night about an amendment that he may be offering, and we haven't reached a conclusion on that, but we haven't talked any further about other amendments. I would expect some,
sure.
Given some of the questions that we've gotten in committee, but I don't have a number.
Okay. Gunther, I'll come to you now.
I have a couple questions. How many amendments and how much discussion do you think your side of the aisle is going to have?
I think we just went through that right now.
You think
15 minutes, one amendment.
15 minutes, only one amendment?
I have one amendment, and I think...
Nobody else has any.
I think Representative Thiessen may have one amendment to clean up some of the language that he put in on vets. We've had a meeting with the vets administrations and the county service officers, and we need to make sure the language is accomplishing what we want to. So I'll have one amendment to do that, but that should be very simple.
Representative Gunther.
I also talked to Matt Dean, Mr. Chairman, and he thought that there might be several amendments, but not an overabundance of them, and he thought that at the very most it should take 2 hours.
Okay. Great. Well, I say we go with 2 hours then. And so that will be Representative Gunther's motion and for 2 hours on this bill.
That's assuming we keep the discussion from your side of the aisle down to what we are anticipating.
And just as a reminder, the time guidelines are for all members' discussion, not just for the majority or minority. Any further discussion on this time parameter?
President Pawlowski. Just one question, maybe a suggestion. At about 15 minutes or so, a reminder to the body that we're getting close to the end and people should start wrapping things up.
I can definitely do that.
So that the author would have a chance to be the last speaker.
Sure, I can definitely do that. Representative Klosky.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, what, if we walked through what happened the other night, what prevents the majority, let's say we have a couple of amendments from Representative Dill relating to taking care of state parks up in his district, which I fully agree he has the right to offer 2 or 20 if he wants to, and then my folks have a few amendments they want to offer, and then suddenly everything turns into a pumpkin and we sit there with you guys ramming bills through.
Well,
what is the fairness in that?
I have not seen that happen yet.
It happened 2 days ago, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seifert, please don't interrupt. This is part of the problem, is when we get like that. Representative Seifert, that did not happen. Your side offered numerous amendments. And so, Representative Seifert, there was no ramming through of anything. Your side was fully appraised at the situation and where we were going. We had a full discussion in this committee about the time parameters. We extended the time parameters both by a vote of this body. Representative Gunther said to add an hour. We extended it on the floor. There's no drop-dead time. The body actually decides when we're done debating. And we went well beyond that in this instance. So it is still my intention to make sure both sides get a fair hearing, especially of their amendments. We are going down the road of voting on corporate taxes, though, which I believe is far afield and a waste of time. So you have my commitment that there will continue to be balance and the opportunity to offer amendments within the time parameters. Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chairman, I think any fair person who observed what happened a couple days ago would say that we had no time after third reading to discuss that bill. And, you know, it depends on what your definition of ramming through is, but the reality is Representative Dill offered amendments. That's great. I'm glad he did. Representative Genius got up, gave reasons why not to do it. Representative Dill got back up and said maybe this is the deal, etc. And I don't know that I disagree with you that there might have been non-germane amendments offered at the end. I don't know, because we never had them formally offered. They could have been dispensed with, I think, in quick order. They were the only two that were left. But I think in not allowing the chief author of the bill and at least the minority leader or the minority lead to give a speech at the end of third reading, I think this is going to end up denigrating this institution. I'm just giving friendly advice. I'm not running again. I'm not going to be here again. But the process of having amendments offered by both sides has been a time-honored institution until the last year or two. And I'm just letting you know that this process works both ways. And you could have a situation where people on your side get to offer amendments. We hit the time limit. We have folks who want to offer amendments, and they can't.
Representative Seifert, I will not let that happen.
It happened 2 days ago, Mr. Chair.
Representative Seifert, that is not true. Representative Holberg offered an amendment. Representative Downey offered two amendments. Representative Emmer offered two amendments. Representative Westrom offered an amendment. You are mischaracterizing and lying about what happened on the floor. Both sides offered amendments. You seem to conveniently only mention the Democrats who offered amendments. Both sides offered amendments. And as to the fact that there were two amendments at the desk, your side of the aisle always has two amendments left at the desk. Your strategy, which you have every right to do, is to bring up three amendments at a time, two amendments at a time. We get down to one amendment sitting on the desk, and two more appear, and two more appear. We never know when it's over, and we get very vague descriptions on how many amendments are left. Quite honestly, Representative Seifert, you did a great job last year. When you said it was the last amendment, it was the last amendment. The last time we asked on Monday, it was a very vague definition of how many were left. And Representative Seifert, I'm fully committed to working with minority, and especially the minority leader, if we can get exact information. We've heard from Representative Gunther today there are several amendments. And people can invent amendments right on the fly, and we should still be able to do that. But having a good sense and a clear sense of how many amendments is helpful in this. Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, first of all, I don't appreciate being called a liar. Please, let's have some respect here. Representative Garofalo had an amendment at the desk. He offered no amendments 2 days ago, none. He wanted to offer one. I think he should have the right to offer an amendment if he wants to. Now, he didn't have his in as early as other people, Representative Dill, Holberg, others. We should look at this from a Democrat-Republican perspective. We have to look at it as a person from District 36B who wanted to offer an amendment relating to whatever it is he even had. I don't even know what he had. And because he ended up drawing the short straw, he didn't get to represent his folks. And, you know, we could go back and forth. I know the Bisgins Amendment. I looked at it. I don't know if it was constitutional, if it was even, you know, germane. But, you know, if you said you visited with the minority leader and he didn't give you assurances those were the last two, then, you know, maybe Representative Gunther should visit with those folks. But at the end of the day, I just feel like this could be really be used for folks putting those folks who have their amendments in. And if somebody has an amendment brought to them by a constituent in the hallway, which happens sometimes, they're going to end up getting snuffed out of this deal.
Representative Seifert.
I'm done. I think it's very unfair what goes on. I'm not going to vote for any more of these time limits because I think it's ludicrous that members of this body on both sides will not get the opportunity to offer amendments to represent their people.
Representative Seifert.
I don't think this time limit probably is even a problem. I bet we'll be done before 2 hours.
Representative Seifert, I think good advice for members, all members, on both sides of the aisle, is to turn your amendments in right away. Then we can have a good sense and make sure to get through things. If Representative Garofalo only had one amendment, It was unfortunate that he did not put the amendment to the desk until we got probably to the four-hour mark that we already hit our time parameter. If he put it in right away, I'm sure it would have gotten priority. And the speaker is very fair. We were on our second Downey amendment, our second Emmer amendment. She would probably take amendments from members who are offering their first amendment before others are offering their second. Representative Winkler, then Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree in the general sense of what Representative Seifert is saying. We all have to be careful about what we do and how it affects this institution in the future. And I think it's very unfortunate that we have to sit and vote in time parameters and that we had to call the question and that it's had to happen a number of times. But I don't think that you can put all the responsibility on the people who are in charge of actually conducting the business in the House. When you have debates that stretch on for 10 or 12 hours with no difference in the outcome, with whose only purpose can be to delay and delay and delay the proceedings, to slow it down, in that situation, those people, too, are denigrating the work of the House. And I think both sides should be aware of what they're doing and try to put aside a little bit of the passion and politics and try to focus more on constructive debate. I think your admonition as a member who's leaving is well grounded, but I hope you're giving the same admonition to members of your party who are going to be here afterwards as well.
Representative Simon, then Westrum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would echo what Representative Winkler said. I know there's a lot of frustration here, and I talked with a member of the Republican caucus after the finance hearing last night, and I'm led to believe that there are a lot of really steamed people in the Republican caucus right now, and I understand that. No one wants to feel like they're cut off and muzzled, and we should always strive that no one feels that in this body, but there have to be some reasonable limits and rules. And I think the work that Representative Pawlowski did in the interim a couple of years ago and that many of us participated in was useful. We can't just have the Wild West out there where people can just talk and talk and talk. And I would say that some people have to practice what they preach. We hear a lot around here about needs, not wants, about prioritizing, about showing discipline and self-restraint. And I think the same applies to debate on the floor. Self-restraint. One amendment is fine. Four might not be from the same author. And if you can't exercise self-restraint and some discipline, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. Now, these proceedings in the Rules Committee mean something. They don't mean nothing. And we've been having this now for the second year where we've talked about time parameters. I think this is the right place to do it. And if there's a concern that too much of the time parameter or the time allotted is being eaten away by the majority party or by introduction of the bill, I think that's a very fair point. And that I think we should almost always err on the side of more time, not less time. If the minority or if any member, for that matter, says 3 hours is just a crime, 3 hours is not enough to vet this bill, then it should be 3.5 or 4. Or if somebody thinks that it's a particularly big bill where the bill introduction will be 30 or, as we heard the other day, 40 minutes from Representative Hausman, I too think that's legitimate to say, hey, you can't eat up 3 hours with 40 minutes of bill introduction. I think we should err on the side of generosity. And I would say that self-restraint runs both ways, to be fair. I think the majority needs to show self-restraint in not calling the question at 4 hours and 1 minute, or even 4 hours and a half, and showing deference and generosity. So self-restraint runs both ways. But we hear a lot about here around here about needs, not wants. Show discipline, show self-restraint. That applies to debate on the House floor, and I'd like to see some.
Representative Westrum, and then Carlson.
Mr. Chair, what's astonishing to me is that this facility, this institution, has ran for well over a century without muzzling or doing what we've done in the last year and a half under the new leadership. I think that's what people need to go back and understand. You know, we often think, and Representative Simon just talked about the Wild West. Come on here. There's some bills that generate a lot of interest. There's other bills that you can't hardly get anybody to stand up and speak on. We all know that. You've been here long enough to know that as well. When Democrats were in the minority, they drug bills out long time after time, amendments when they decided that was going to be a bill they wanted to key in on, or some members of their caucus. We are not robots. For our minority leader to have control of us and for you to suggest that is ludicrous, just like any of your members should not be robots to what you're doing. If they want to bring an amendment up after Something else has been introduced. Representative Ward introduced an amendment on the floor. How are we supposed to know that was going to be up? Is he going to start turning that in the first minute we get into session? I don't think so. I think, I mean, it really points back to the ludicrousy of this time restraints in the first place. But understand, this institution has outlasted any one of us. And it certainly will not perish if it continues that people can talk longer, more than less. Our forefathers didn't set this process up so we could speed through legislation and knee-jerk. That's the whole reason you even have a Senate that has a four-year term. And the idea, part of the principle, is that they don't knee-jerk as fast as the House, but the House is more reactive because we're up every 2 years, we hear things. There's a design in this system, but to say that it's all about trying to speed through the process and cut off debate, which has been the focus as of late, is wrong. I agree with Representative Seifert. It will work itself out, and it's the more you're going to put time constraints on, the more reaction you're going to get from people that are being constrained. And so I think we should still just go back to no time limits, and you're going to find some bills take longer than anybody could predict, and some bills go faster than anybody could predict.
Before I call on Representative Carlson, Representative Westrum, two responses to what you said. Our forefathers did set up this great democracy, but their forefathers also set up deadlines. We can only meet during certain times, and we have to be done with our work on certain days. So they also set up deadlines that this isn't just a free-range debate society, that we actually get our work done. And to your point of this is somehow an historic time where this is happening, I would instruct you to go back and listen to maybe some of the debate in the 1980s when Dave Jennings was the Speaker of the House. It is a very interesting clip where if you thought there was discussion on the floor about ending debate and closing down session, Speaker Jennings actually adjourned sine die in the middle of a debate and not at the end of session. So this isn't some brand new thing that is just popping up. This happens time and again in our great state.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Westrum,
if I can respond. First of all, sine die is a higher motion than anything else. So, but what sine die does is moves things further away from passage, not closer. That's the principle this was set up on. It wasn't set up on getting things passed and seeing how fat we can make the statute book. So that's what you need to keep in mind. I'm not going to condone or condemn. I don't know what you're talking about. I wouldn't condone it if Jennings was the speaker that put in time limits. I think they're wrong, no matter who introduces them, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. And so I just would make that point. But sine die is a higher motion, just for your information.
I'm well aware of that, Representative Westrum. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you know, as I pointed out before, I've been here 38 years. Representative Seifert likes to point out, at least he used to, that he was born the same year I was elected. I don't know if you remember that in the committee one day, but where I'm really headed with that is that, you know, we're talking about floor management, time management, and something that evolved and really hit the high point the last couple of years was more and more and more amendments, to the point where it's not the amendments anymore, but more a tactic to delay that's come about. And that's the reason the time limits were put in place. And I have to admit that when we first started talking about time limits, I had reservations about putting time limits in place. But then I had a couple of personal experiences, brought forth a bill, I think at about 1 or 2 p.m. one afternoon, and we finished up that bill after something in the neighborhood of 100 plus amendments had been offered at 3 or 4 a.m. the following day. And I brought up another amendment, some of you may remember, or a bill, the last day of the session, bill that probably had about 2 paragraphs in it, and there had been 40 amendments and still more coming on the House floor that day, and we had to pull the bill back. It was a tactic that ended up killing the bill at that point in time because we had appropriations bills that we had to put through.
And so even though I was reluctant at the time on putting time limits in, I recognized the problem that we were trying to solve, which was the ability to manage the flow of bills on the floor. And I would say that if the minority caucus would revisit that issue of the number of amendments and why they're being offered, that that would go a long way in terms of resolving the issue between the two caucuses and the ability to manage the floor and get things done. It's really a two-way street here, and I think we all recognize that that tactic of using amendments had reached the point where it was really an abuse of our time.
Any further discussion on the Gunther motion to set 2 hours for Senate File 2168?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Westrom.
I didn't catch the beginning discussion. What bill is that? Is that the Murphy bill?
Yes, it is, Representative Westrom.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to vote for this. I think 2 hours might be ample, but I can easily see it going longer than that. And, I don't know. I just think we ought to let it go the way it's going to go, naturally.
Representative Westrom, I understand that, and we can take that as your comment for every time parameter set that you disagree with it. We're beyond the point of disagreeing with the parameters, though they are in place now. We have to learn to live with them. Representative Westrom, we had a full discussion before you got here, where Representative Gunther felt confident that 2 hours was more than enough time. All those in favor of the Gunther motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion prevails. Members, we have a late addition on another bill. This would be the Mahoney bill, House File 927, dealing with building codes. And members, in discussions with Representative Mahoney, I believe he has taken out any controversial provisions in this, or will take them out. And this is basically a department bill dealing with building codes. And I would state 20 minutes being a good time parameter there. Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, is this the same bill that came to us the last day or two of session last year and didn't pass, as I recall?
Representative Westrom, that is correct.
Mr. Chair, I think 20 minutes might get through one amendment. I, if it's got the stuff in there that's going to change how cities can treat landlords, I think you're going to be in for a lot longer discussion than 20 minutes. I don't know if it's still in there or not. If he's taking the controversial stuff out, I would assume that's out.
Representative Westrom, that section is out of the bill.
Is the water softener licensing in or out of the bill? Do you know that?
Give me 1 second, Representative Westrom. Representative Westrom, you know a lot about this bill. Did you were you part of any committees that this bill went through?
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't. Surprised me at the end, but they were doing a lot of licensing, a lot of new stuff, the proposals the Department of Labor were putting out. I think it's more controversial than he might be representing.
Representative Westrom, do you have a suggestion on
the
time parameter?
I don't, Mr. Chairman. I'd say a couple hours at least, but I'm not going to.
Two hours, you're saying, for a building codes bill?
I don't agree with time limits, Mr. Chairman, but I don't think 20 minutes is going to be ample to that.
Representative Westrom, pardon me for saying you're not being helpful right now.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's not going to be my motion. If you wanted a recommendation or suggestion, I'm thinking it'd be an hour or two, but it could be longer. Probably could be shorter. So I don't think, take that as some feedback if you want to adjust your times.
All right. Mr. Gunther, you have any suggestions as the lead?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe it's going to take 2 hours. I haven't talked to Representative Mahoney, although I remember the bill and declarations that were sent back from the Senate, we didn't have a hearing. I think it's been pretty much talked out and agreed to between the two bodies. I think it is a department bill, but putting 2 hours, I know it's not going to take that long, but I think it's fair.
Representative Junkie.
Well, I'm fine with extending it. I guess my friendly suggestion to you and staff is to I know you're trying to dig through synopsises. Last year we started putting bills in the folder, which was helpful to me and I think other members as we looked at them, because we don't know bills by numbers or what's in them, and or be very helpful to have the authors here. to answer these questions. Just a friendly suggestion, because I would agree with Representative Westrom and Gunther on this. I do remember that bill, and there were a lot of different things, and it'd be nice to know if they really are out, you know, from waterless urinals to whatever. You know, there was stuff that was just goofy, and Representative Mahoney might think it's all greased, but there's a lot of sections that touch a lot of people. So,
Representative Junkie, I appreciate that. The one thing I don't want to do and make this committee is the committee that hears every bill over again. I would hate to have the Health and Human Services Finance Bill sitting on our desk and relitigate that bill in this committee. So we'll have to balance that as well. So Representative Gunther moves 2 hours on the building codes bill. Members, that would probably mean we will only take one of the two bills tomorrow. We don't want to be here late into the evening again. At least I don't want to be, and I know many other members do not as well. So I believe the priority would be, if it looks like the Mahoney bill would take 2 hours, that we would take up the general assistance medical care bill for 2 hours and probably not come back in the evening. Representative Gunther.
Can I revise my...
Sure.
Representative Mahoney is a quick close friend of mine, and I don't want to admit it.
Representative Gunther revises his motion to 1 hour. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion prevails. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.